Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, before I begin this morning, let's see, we'll get this on here so I know what I'm doing here. I am not a tech whiz, I'm a cheese whiz. Let's see here. Oh, okay, now here we go. I want to begin by saying thank you to many of you who have been praying for us. As mentioned, I am currently the Child Evangelism Director in the county, and we just finished our first week of day camp. 41 young people came down to Nauvoo, and five of them made a first-time decision for Christ. So that was exciting, and we just sang that song, I Love to Tell the Story, and we had missionaries this past week that are on the border of Burma and Thailand, and he was sharing with me that there are over 4,000 languages that have not even one word of the Bible written in their language, and it takes, he said, 25 years at least to get from start to finish to again can go get the Bible all translated into a language. So we're very fortunate we have the Word of God here. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning, as you can see, being a witness for Christ. Now, in our day and age, when we think of the word witness, we think of someone who is going out and telling other people about Christ. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Someone came along and told us about the Lord, and we got saved. And then now it's our responsibility to go out and share our faith with other people. That's being a witness. Originally, however, the word in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, originally the word witness had to do with the word martyr. And most of the early people in the book of Acts that were disciples and so forth ended up giving their life for the Lord. And I am certainly glad, at least in America yet, we don't have to think about that. But there are many countries, Korea and many other places, where people are doing that today just for the privilege of having a Bible study or reading the Bible or whatever. And so that's our job, our command. All right, let's take a look at, if you'll turn with me to Acts 1:8, and we'll start at that point this morning. That should be a familiar verse to most of you. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And of course, Acts was the very beginning of the church. And so it was just getting started. And so he said to them, you start where you're at, and then you're going to branch out until the whole world knows about Christ. Now, as we look at our screen up here, in Acts 1:8, it is our, first of all, our duty. It's our duty to be a witness. And really, even before that is the word command. It's not an option for us to be a witness. If you're saved, you should have that desire inside of your heart to want to tell other people about the Lord. And as we look at the word duty there, it says, one who gives evidence by his life, you shall receive power. And we have to look at our life as a Christian. It's one thing to say that I am a Christian this morning, but is there evidence in my life that would prove? Am I excited about being a Christian? Am I excited about telling other people about the Lord? And that should be a big part of our life. All right, the second one here is the word direction. And, of course, we just read they were to go all over the place. And many people are scared to be a witness because they think, uh-oh, if I really take this thing seriously, God's going to make me give up my job and I'm going to have to go to some foreign mission field and eat bugs and do all kinds of horrible things. But That's not the case. I mean, God does call people occasionally to do that. But we are to start where we are. And we all have neighbors and friends and family who don't know the Lord. And so we begin there. And we begin by praying for them. And as you pray for someone, you get a burden for that person. And then as you get a burden for that person, the door opens up as the opportunity arises. You're telling them. You're sharing your faith with them. So it's a direction to begin. And then it says, a distinct purpose. You are called. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, in the early church, that was true. The Holy Spirit came upon people. But in today's world, we know that when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. And so our purpose here is we are called. We need to take it seriously, in other words. It's just not an option. All right, and then it says it's a definite objective. Be a witness to me. The most important thing in our life first should be God, and then, of course, our family, and then our other parts of our life. But the Lord should come first, and our desire to please him and serve him should be number one in our life. All right. There we go. All right. We're going to look at our second slide here. The first is we are commanded to follow God. And this one is we are called to be a witness. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we're going to look first of all at the word walk. Our daily life, we're walking the Christian life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. All right. And that says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Before I got saved, I was living for myself. I got up in the morning and I did things that pleased me, and I served myself. But then I became a Christian, and God began to work in my life. And as I yield to that and let him work in my life, there's newness, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting and living in my life. And it says here that's involved in our daily, the word walk just means our daily, everyday life for Christ. And what's involved in that? Well, the first one it says, be ready to obey his plan for our life. We'll just, I won't have you turn to every single one this morning, but if you'll go with me to Ephesians, and we'll kind of stay in Ephesians for the rest of the time, pretty much. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, first one. All right, and that says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I once had a gentleman, I was actually a pastor before I committed child evangelism, so I had a gentleman in one of my churches who said, well, now that I'm saved, I am perfect. I will never, ever, ever again sin. And I said, wow, that's great. I wish I could say that. But that's not the case. Because what does it say here? For we are his workmanship. The word workmanship means God is working in our life. Salvation is just the first step. That kind of guarantees me to get into heaven. That's true. But it doesn't end there. I have a life to live between now and heaven. And God is working in and through you and me to make us more like the Lord. And so he says here, we're his workmanship. We're created in Christ for good works. Now, it doesn't mean we're good. It just means that God's working on us to change us, to make us more like the Lord. And then it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. God's desire for me and you and all other believers is that we're yielding our life to the Lord. And as we do that, he begins to work in our life and change us. The more we're in the Word of God, the more we're praying, the more we're around other Christians and so forth, God's working. And it's exciting to see how God works and what he does in us. So that's part of our walk. Now we go to Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, just a page or two over. And this says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you to walk worthy of your calling, with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What should our walk be like? Well, it tells us here. It tells us here we should be gentle. That doesn't mean we're weak, but the word gentle just simply means that I try my hardest by God's help to be kind and loving to other people. Long-suffering, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's not my nature to be long-suffering. But I have to pray, Lord, help me today to trust you, even though I can't see what you're doing and how you're doing it and when you're doing it. Help me to trust you throughout my daily life. And then bearing with one another in love. We have to bear with people. And guess what? They have to bear with me too. We just have to work, get along, try our hardest by God's help. Lord, I struggle with this person. They just seem to rub me the wrong way. And I don't know why it is, but when I'm around them, give me the love that I don't have, that you have, and that you can work through me for that person. All right, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. As Christians, we should try our hardest. Now, it's not always possible, but by God's help and God's strength, we should try to keep unity in the church. We should try to keep peace and work together and show the love of Christ to other people. All right, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And here we have, be ready to show Christ's love. Therefore, be an imitator of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice as a sweet-smelling aroma. All right, first of all, he says in verse 1, I need to imitate Christ. Now, we have a very large copy machine in our office. And you feed it through the top tray, and if everything's working right, which sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, but if it is, it should come out the bottom exactly what I put in on the top. And that's the same word for imitator. As people look at me, as they look at you, they should see a picture of Jesus. Now, I know I fail, but overall, if I'm yielding myself to the Lord and I'm trusting him and I'm in his word and all these things, I should be more and more like Christ every single day of my life. And so, I'm an imitator of Christ. I need to walk in his love, not my love. Human love says, well, okay, if you're kind to me and you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And if you're kind of not so nice to me, I'm not even going to bother with you. That's human love. But what is God's love like? We go to the end of the verse here. Christ was an offering, a sacrifice to God. That was what his love is. Love is a sacrifice. I have to be willing to give. And that doesn't always go with my nature, does it? I'm not always willing to bend and give and be willing to do what God wants me to do. But that's what he wants, and I need to do that. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. As God looks down upon us, and I'm if I'm trying to yield myself to the Lord and I'm trying to do what he wants me to do, he's saying, I'm proud of that person. They're a sweet-smelling aroma to me. And so we need to have the love of Christ in our heart. And then finally, in verse 13 of the same chapter, be ready to follow his wisdom. And it says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I once heard a pastor, actually we used to go to Word of Life quite a lot, and so he was preaching up there, and he talked about the fact that he was watching a cat. This man was watching a cat one time, and for some reason there was a fence there, and on top of the fence there was like pieces of glass, and this cat was going to try to cross the fence. And of course the cat would put his foot down, and he was careful, very careful where he was putting his feet, because he didn't want to get cut, obviously. And that he used that as an example of circumspectly. The word circumspectly means to be extremely careful of how I live my life. Most of us get up in the morning and we don't give it a thought. We just get up and get dressed and go about our day, and we don't think anything about it. But throughout our day, we should have the mind of Christ. And we should be saying, okay, is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing, is how I react to other people, how I live my life, it's all making an impact upon people around me. And so I need to be very careful on how I live my life. All right, let's see here. That was verse 13. All right. And so when it says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need God's wisdom. There's lots of things that pop up in our daily life, and we're not expecting them to come. My wife and I have had many experiences where you're going along smoothly and everything's going well, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this situation comes up and we weren't prepared for it. We weren't ready for it. And it's like, boy, what do I do now? And so we can go to God and we can pray. And it's great to know that nothing takes God by surprise. It may surprise me, but God knew about it long before I knew about it. And he knew exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to use it in my life. And so if he can do that, he's certainly the one I need to go to. And I need to pray. Lord, I don't understand again what this is all about. I don't know why it's happening. I don't even like it. But I'm going to trust you and trust your wisdom. And then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. As we look around us, there's still a lot of good things out there in the world. But our world is getting worse and worse. I think we all probably could agree with that. And the days are evil. And so he says here, we need to use our time wisely, because it's getting shorter and shorter until the Lord comes. All right. Now, the next one we're going to look at is our call from Christ to witness includes, first, our talk, the words that come out of our mouth. And we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let's see. Okay. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. What comes out of my mouth? Well, typically when we first hear something like that, we think of bad words, all right? And that is possible. I mean, I can get mad, I can lose my temper, and I can say something I shouldn't say. But it goes beyond that. When it says no corrupt communication, it has to do with anything that I'm going to say that's going to draw people away from Christ. If I put people down, if I'm mean, if I'm unkind, anything that I say that's going to hurt other people. That's what's involved in let no corrupt word proceed out of my mouth. But I should be saying the things that are good for building people up. That's really the word edification. And so I should be thinking, starts in my head, starts in my mind. I should be thinking, before I say that, is it necessary for me to say that? Is it a good thing for me to say that? Is it going to be kind? And, you know, maybe we're looking at a situation or we're looking at someone and we're saying, I don't think I can say anything good. Well, there's always something we can say good. There's always something that we can be thankful for. And so we need to build others up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's nothing good about me or any person, but yet God still loves us and he accepts us as we are. And so we need to work with other people and we need to love them and accept them as they are. All right. Then chapter 6, verses 12 to 17 is our stand affected by our walk. 12 to 17. Let's see. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18 talks about praying. This year in our day camps with the children, we're going through this very same passage. Each day we're going through a different piece of the armor of God. And what does it mean? Well, let's quickly think about this. We're every day in a Christian life, we're in a battle. We're in a struggle. I mean, we're tempted to do things we shouldn't do. We have all kinds of problems and troubles. And that's our enemy, Satan. Satan knows when to hit us. When we're the weakest point, he knows how to hit us. He knows what would tempt me would not maybe tempt you. So he's going to hit you where you're tempted and where I'm tempted. And it's a battle. And what do I do? Well, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you and I can withstand when I'm tempted. I can't do it. I've seen that many times in my life. If I think I can, I'm not going to be pulled down by that. I'm not going to be tempted by that. Bang, that's just when it happens. All right? And so he says here, first piece of armor is I'm to gird my waist with truth. Well, the Roman soldier, you have to understand the word gird here. They wore like a long robe type thing that actually went down over their ankles. And if they're sitting there and they're maybe relaxing a little bit and all of a sudden somebody yells, the enemy's coming, they get up and start to run, that's going to trip them up. So what they have to do is they have to pull up their toga or whatever you would call it so they don't trip and fall. And that's what the belt helped them with. And as we think about our life, there's lots of stuff that's going to cause us to trip and fall. And if I know a specific area in my life is a weakness for me and it's a problem for me, then I should try by God's help to stay away from that thing. And it may even be a good thing. Like you might say, okay, well, you're on the computer or you're on TV, or there's nothing specifically wrong with that as a whole. But if you know that that's a problem for you, then you need to kind of be careful not to get hooked up with things that are going to cause you problems. All right. Then it says, having your breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was the armor that came from here and, of course, went down to the hip for the soldier. And it covered the heart. The heart was not only the heart that beats, but it was the heart that said, I will choose. That's what we tell the kids. The heart means the part that says, I will do something or I won't do something. And Satan just knows how to convince us that wrong is right and right is wrong. I can talk myself right into it. And I shouldn't. I need to be careful of listening to the voices that are coming at me. I need to listen to God's word, God's voice, not all the stuff that's out there getting me to do the wrong thing. All right, then that leads to righteousness, doing what is right. I need to have my feet prepared to go out and be a witness. That's where we started this morning, being a witness. And above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield was important for the soldier because he could, whenever those fiery darts, and that's actually what they did, they took arrows or spears, they covered them with pitch, and then they lit them. So they were fiery. And they would fire them at the enemy. And, of course, you don't want to be hit by a fiery arrow or a spear. And so you put up your spear to block it, or you put up your shield to block it, pardon me. And what is our shield? It's faith. When we think of faith this morning, it's not just, yes, faith saves us. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. That's true. But how does it help me in my everyday Christian life? Well, again, I need to go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm struggling in this particular area of my life. You know all my weaknesses. You know where I fail. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this area. I'm going to commit this area of my life to you. And as I trust God, He handles it. Number one, it takes the burden off of me because I'm naturally a worrier. All right? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to stew and I'm going to worry and I'm going to be upset. Or I can take and give it to God. Say, God, I'm going to trust you in that area of my life. All right. Then it says, the helmet of salvation, and that has to do with the brain or the mind. And Satan just loves to hit our thoughts. If he can get control of our head and get control of our thoughts, he pretty much can control us. And so we need to turn our thoughts and our thinking over to the Lord. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, what did he do? Satan took him up into the wilderness and he was at his weakest point, 40 days without food and water. And Satan was throwing all these things at him, and he says, it is written, the word of God says. And that's using the sword of the Spirit. We need to get God's word in our heart so that we can say, Satan, this is what God's word says. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to think that, or whatever it may be. Okay. And then in verse 18, we're going to think about our prayer here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication to the saints. Praying, you might say, I've heard people say, well, all I can do is pray. Well, guess what? That's the most important thing that you can do. And so he's saying here, I need to take everything to God in prayer. And I need to go to him with my supplication. That's my needs. Not just, Lord, provide this and provide that. But it's saying, Lord, this is something that I'm really having a problem with. I take it to you. Okay. We're We're just about done. All right. Then a condition to being a witness includes, and I won't have you look up these, but the first one is certain of transformation. When I'm a Christian, there needs to be a change in my life. And some people, it happens overnight. When when my father got saved, he was the last one in our family to get saved. He was a four-pack-a-day smoker. He smoked cigars. He smoked pipes. He smoked everything you could think of that was out there. And people were praying and praying and praying and praying for him. And we come home one night, and there he was. At that time, we had a coal furnace. That was a long time ago. And so he was taking all his stuff, throwing them in the fire, burning it all up. And he was crying. And he had said to me, my whole life growing up, I never want to see you cry. You're a man. You don't cry. You don't show emotion. So I never cried or showed emotion. But there he was, crying like a little baby. And that really caught my attention. And he gave his heart and life to the Lord that night. And there was a big change. So with him, it was fast and quick. There's other people who get saved, and they're truly saved, but it takes a while for the changes to take place. But even so, there needs to be a change. And the change happens, and we mentioned this earlier, as I yield myself to the Lord. Lord, I want to become more like you. I can't do it, but I'm trusting you. So transformation is one thing. Clean of all trash. Are there trash in my life? Is there trash in my life? Well, we don't like to think so, because we like to think, well, I'm pretty good. I'm a nice guy. There can't be anything wrong with the way I'm living or what I'm doing. But the Bible tells us that we need to examine our hearts and our lives as a Christian and say, Lord, is there anything in my life right now that's blocking my fellowship with you or my communication with you? If there is, I need to deal with it. And that's hard to deal with, because certainly we like to hold on to some things in our life. But we need to be honest, and we need to say, I need to get rid of the trash that's in my life. I need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which we've already kind of talked about a lot this morning. That's the yielding of my life to God's Holy Spirit. I need to be concerned about my time. How am I using my time? If I really believed, I mean, I say I believe it, but I don't live like I believe it. But if I really believe that the Lord would come today, then my life would be different, because I'd be out there trying to reach the world for the Lord. But I keep thinking every day, well, you know, I'm only in my 50s. I got another 30 years to go, blah, blah, blah. But we don't know. We don't know what time we have. So we need to use our time for the Lord and use it wisely. Make it count to live for him. And then confident of the harvest. This is one that's speaking to me right now out of all of them that I have up there. I will be teaching 2 5-day clubs this week over in Covington. And last night, my two boys and I went out, and we went all over the area over there handing out invitations to this club. And everywhere I went, people kept saying, no, 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 no. And I was like, man, I'm really discouraged. I'm giving my time. I'm trying to be out here doing it. I'm knocking on doors. And I get no. And so I come home and I said to my wife, well, I don't expect any kids to come this week. It's just the way it is. It's just not going to happen. And she said, where's your faith? Wow. Yep. I need to be reminded that even though I got 50 no's, God is still there, and He's in charge. God can do anything He wants to do if I'm trusting Him. And so we see here, I need to be confident that God's going to bring the harvest, even though I can't see it yet, or I can't know what God's going to do. I have to trust God. Okay. Well, I guess that's it, huh? To a black page. I would like to just conclude this morning by saying this. My message was for the Christian, because in a church setting like this, I'm assuming that everyone here knows Christ as their Savior. And so we should be challenged to go out and serve the Lord. We should be challenged to go out and use our time wisely to witness for other people. But I don't know every heart here. I can't see inside of you. And there might be one here this morning who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. And so if you don't, I would be wrong if I didn't share the gospel message real quickly in a nutshell. What is it? I've been talking about it, but what is it this morning? Well, it's the fact that God loves me and He loves you. No matter what your background, no matter where you came from, no matter what you did, God loves you. And He wants to meet you and accept you right where you're at. And then He proved that love. He doesn't just say, I love you, but He came and He proved it by willingly dying on the cross for us. And wow, that is really hard for me to get my mind around. I don't deserve anything. And yet God willingly laid down His life for you and for me. And then He was buried, and of course He rose again. He's a living Savior. And He died for my sins, because I am a sinner. And everyone in this world is a sinner. And you know, we hear so many thoughts today about how we get to heaven. And if I get baptized, if I'm a good person, if I'm go to church, if I'm all these things, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, those are all good things, but there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but by me. And so my part and your part this morning is to put your faith and trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. I had to accept the finished work of Christ on that cross. And as I close in prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to think about that. Is there a time in your life when you have ever said, yes, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to be forgiven. I want to know I'm going to heaven. If you did, wonderful. But if not, or you're not sure, today's the best day in the whole wide world to make sure. And so, as I close in prayer this morning, let's just think about that. All right, shall we close? Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here this morning. I just thank you for each one that you've brought to the church today. Help us first to be constantly examining our life and deciding that I need to walk, I need to live the Christian life every day. I need to be a witness to those around me. But if there is one who's not truly sure of heaven, Lord, I ask that you would open up their heart today and help them to make that decision before they leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.